The Good News Hour greets you once again. This is the program wholly dedicated to the Word of God. And your speaker today is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now, I should like to call your attention, please, to some five or six things that are eternal. You see, we are living in a world of which the Word of God says it passes away. All that's in the world passes away. Now, I shall give you the scriptures, and you make a notation of these, and you can look them up for yourselves after we conclude this brief message to you. And the first one you would find in the book of Deuteronomy, and that would be Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 27. Now, I shall go over the five or six, and then I'll give you the scriptures a little later on, or that is to say, the location of these texts. The first one is the eternal God, the second is the eternal Son, and the third, the eternal Spirit, fourth, the eternal purpose, and fifth, the eternal Word, and five, all who trust our Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are here and now in possession of eternal life. So look with me, please, at Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall destroy them." Oh, how wonderful and how precious those words are. So that all who have come to put their personal faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the merits of the work of that one who sent him into this world, they can say of themselves, or in other words, take up the words of the prophet who said, "The eternal God is thy refuge." And then again you would find that expression or a similar expression in the 46th Psalm that reads like this: "God is our refuge and strength, and a present help in time of trouble." So that all who have received Christ as their very own, who have put faith in the eternal God, can speak of him who is one at their side, available, ready to help in time of need. Think of it. God is our refuge and strength and a present help in time of trouble. Now, I needn't remind you of the fact that we're living in troublous days, in fact, unparalleled in human history. And if you want to know the exact happenings that will transpire according to Scripture, then familiarize yourself with the Word of God. And if you become familiar with Scriptures, you will not be deceived by anyone who is trying to tell you that the world is getting better and after a while we'll have the golden age here. And in other words, there will be no difference. We'll all possess everything we need. But you see, that's contrary to the Word of God, who simply, when our Savior was here, he said, "The poor ye have with you always." But thank God we are able to tell you that the eternal God, through the eternal Son whom he sent into this world, came into the world for one purpose, that he first might obtain for us eternal redemption and then pass on to all who receive him as their Savior the true riches. The riches, in other words, that are eternal. We're speaking of eternal values now. You see, in a short while, we will all have left this scene, and we will have gone to one or the other of two destinations. And of course, those who have trusted Christ will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have refused him as Savior and Lord will be shut out of his presence and spend eternity in outer darkness, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So I'm glad to be able to introduce to you, first of all, the eternal God, and the eternal God who is a present help in time of trouble. And then let me remind you again that the eternal Son who came into this world to make men rich. Yes, I say, to bestow upon them the true riches. Read, for instance, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, and you'd read an amazing statement that goes like this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And so that one who possesses the true riches, that one who was rich with the Father, everything in his hand, and as a matter of fact, it's all in his hands now again, for the Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And so our God, the eternal God, sent the eternal Son into this world to enrich men and women, high or low, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, men of high standing, men of low standing. He came into this world to enrich the sons and daughters of Adam's race with the true riches. In other words, what you could not purchase if you were a billionaire many times over. You could not purchase what the Son of God has brought to all who put faith in His blessed and in His holy Son. Now shall we give you a passage that brings before us then, we've seen the Word of God that tells us about the eternal God. Now we're going to see one that tells us about the eternal Son. You might turn, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. We shall read together at verse 13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Now will you listen to this? "And he," that is the Lord Jesus Christ the Son, "he is before all things. And by him all things consist," or "all things hold together." Now isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? That God should have looked down upon us, the eternal God. Let me remind you of that. He is God today, just as ever, and ever shall be. He is eternal, the eternal God. And he had at his side the eternal Son. But you see, the Father loved the Son, and I'm sure he not only loved the Son, but he loved the world. He loved the world in which we live, the world that he created. And our first parents sinned against him and introduced sin into the world. And Romans 5 and 12 tells us, "Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now think of God, will you? The eternal God who so thought upon us as to send into this world the eternal Son. I think that's amazing. And then, you know, that one who came from God the Father, he could say, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, and I have come to do thy will, O God." And then he tells us that, "Then said I, Lo, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." But you know, there's one little precious word that I want you to see in this portion that we have not stressed for the moment. We said that God was eternal, God is eternal, his Son is eternal, the eternal Son. But think of what was in his heart. Now you listen to this most interesting expression. He says, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." And above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure in them, I delight," he says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And he could further say, I delight to do thy will." And you know that in order to do the will of God, it meant that he, the eternal Son, should go all the way to dark Calvary and come in contact, in direct contact and combat with sin. And the question of sin by the Son was settled upon the cross eternally. And I think a great deal more needs to be made of this in our day. Men need to be made conscious of the fact that they are sinners, that all have sinned against God with a high hand, for the Scripture says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, by nature, each of us has forfeited right and title to the very presence of God. But God in mercy sent His eternal Son into the world for one purpose, that He might forever put away sin from before the face of a holy God, His God. And we can say, He spoke of it, you remember, in that way to Mary, "I must ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And oh, it's wonderful when you can think of Him as the eternal God, but more wonderful when you can address Him as your Father. Now, after all, we are not all children of God. The only ones that are children of God are those who have been born of the Holy Spirit of God, who can look back to a time in their lives when by faith they were introduced to our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how Job puts it in the 22nd chapter, in the 21st verse. He says, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee." Yes, the best and the greatest possible good would become yours through the eternal Son, and you would share those glories with Him forever and forever. And surely we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. And some of us can say, thank God, He is mine, and I am His. He, the price for sin, is paid, and for me a ransom made. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Trust this Savior today. And if you trust Him, you'll know something about the eternal God. Yes, and you'll know the eternal Son. And then the three or four other eternal things that we shall bring to you in the will of God in our next message. Meantime, trust Him. Meantime, receive Him as your personal Savior. Drop us a line, care of this station, if you enjoyed the message that you heard today.